This is the third in this series, The Beginning. And I have talked about Abraham. I talked about Abraham 2 weeks ago. Abraham was a friend of God. And we talked about how we can become a friend of God as well. Last week, I talked about Abraham's grandson, Jacob, who was later renamed by God as Israel. And God changed his name, God changed his walk, God changed his identity and his way of doing things in his life. And I want to talk about this week, we're going to be talking about Joseph the dreamer. Joseph the dreamer. I'm skipping ahead of my introduction that I had planned here because we took a little longer in worship today. But I really think that each of these lessons is a lesson in how we can get closer in our relationship with God and know him better. Abraham kind of set the example. He was a friend of God. And by all accounts, he seemed to be somewhat a humble man. The Bible says that God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. And so Abraham was a friend of God. And I believe one of the reasons he was a friend of God was because he was humble before God. Jacob, his grandson, on the other hand, was not very humble. He was known as a deceiver, as a grabber, as a supplanter. He wanted to be at the top of God's ladder. The problem is it was God's ladder. And God was at the top, and God had to knock him down a few rungs. But he had grit, and he had passion, he had perseverance, and he continued to serve God. And God changed his identity, God changed his name, God changed his walk, but he had to deal with that areas in his life that needed to be broken a little bit. He had to deal with his pride. What we're going to find with Joseph is kind of the same thing. Joseph was a young man who had some pride in his life as well that God had to deal with. Now, Joseph was Jacob's son. Jacob had 12 sons in all. 12 sons. And these became known as the 12 tribes of Israel, okay? And so I'm doing this kind of as a history lesson for many of you who have maybe never read through the Bible, or maybe you're new in your walk with God. Many of you I know are seasoned and you know some of these things. And so for you, this is going to be a refresher. But I think we're all going to learn and grow in this series. Jacob had those 12 sons, and they became known as the 12 tribes of Israel. Jesus came through the lineage of Jacob. He was actually through the tribe of Judah, which was the fourth son of Jacob. There's been some speculation as to why the fourth and not the first. And the Bible is clear that Reuben forfeited his firstborn rights. And then there was two next in line, Simeon and Levi. And the Bible is clear as well on that they also forfeited their right because of bad choices they made in their life. So that left Judah. Another reason, though, is because David, King David, came from the line of Judah as well. And David was a man after God's own heart. And God promised that because of that, through his lineage would come Jesus the Messiah. But the most popular of all of Jacob's 12 sons was undoubtedly going to be Joseph. And the reason I say he's the most popular is because he has his own DreamWorks animated movie and also a Broadway musical about his life, believe it or not. And believe it or not, I was in that musical when I was in college. I think I played Reuben. I don't remember. Anyway, but it was not a very big part. If you have your Bibles, turn to Genesis chapter 37. Genesis chapter 37. And we're going to look at the life a little bit of Joseph here. And I've got some Bible reading each week. So if you want to read ahead for each of these, many of you may have done this. You may have read last week the story of Joseph. And I hope that you enjoyed that and got something out of it. Your Bible reading in the back of your bulletin this week is the whole book of Exodus, because next week I'm going to be talking about Moses. So that seems like a lot of reading, but I think if you do about three chapters a day, you can get through it. And that still doesn't scratch the surface. Well, it does scratch the surface, but it doesn't share the whole story of Moses. Today we're going to look at Joseph, though, out of Genesis chapter 37. And I want to talk about the dream and the dream and the dreamer, and the difference between God's dream and God's purpose in your life. There's a lot of things that I could talk about, but one of the things that Joseph had to overcome in his life in order to go from the dream that God had given him to the purpose or the destiny that God had for him, was he had to deal with this area that I've already mentioned, the area of his pride in his life. And so we're going to look at this story here this morning about his dream. He's 17 years old when he gets the dream, but he does not fulfill or step into that destiny that God had for him until he was 30 years old. So it was a 14-year wait. If you remember, his father, Jacob, also had to go through this waiting process, this breaking process of 14 years. He wanted to marry Rachel, but he had to work literally, do almost like slave labor under the abuse of his uncle Laban for 14 years before he could marry Rachel. Well, likewise, Joseph, his son, had to wait 14 years from the time he got his dream at 17 till the time he stepped into it at 30. The reason many people don't step into God's destiny for their life is because they're not willing to go through that waiting process. They're not willing to keep their passion burning strong and to persevere. They're not willing to have that grit, that passion, and that perseverance required to go through the hardships of life and the breaking process of God. But Jacob did, and we're going to see that Joseph did as well. But I want to start off by saying this. God has a dream for everyone. God really does have a dream for everyone. The dream is different than the destiny or the purpose. The dream is different, but God has a dream for everyone. And let me just say this, because this is huge. His dream for your life is better than your dream. And his purpose for your life is bigger than your purpose. Because God is always better and he's always bigger. All right? And so I want you to understand that everyone in this room has a dream from God, can have a dream from God. Let's just look at one of these areas, though, that Joseph needed to have broken off his life. And I'm going to be talking about pride today. If you don't think you need to be broken of pride in your life, you really need this message. So listen carefully. All right. Genesis chapter 37, verse 1. Now Jacob dwelt in the land where his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan. And this is the history of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brothers, and the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. Bilhah was Leah's maid. Leah was Jacob's first wife, and Bilhah was her maid. Rachel was his second wife, and Zilpah was Rachel's maid. Leah and Rachel were Jacob's wives, but they had these maids, Zilpah and Bilhah. I'm sure they were lovely ladies. These make up the 12 tribes of Israel. Leah had 6 sons, Rachel had 2, Bilhah had 2, and Zilpah had 2. So Joseph was with his half-brothers here. And it says, and Joseph brought a bad report of them to his father. Now, I just want you to notice, before he ever had a dream, he's already a tattletale. Okay. Now, verse 3. Now, Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was the son of his old age. Also, he made him a tunic or a coat of many colors. But when his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all his brothers, they hated him and could not speak peaceably to him. Now, keep in mind, his brothers already hated him, because you'll see in a moment what 17-year-olds will do sometimes. Now, Joseph had a dream, and he told it to his brothers, and they hated him even more. And when we read this dream, I just want you to be in awe of how audacious it is, maybe how unwise it is to tell this kind of dream to older, bigger brothers who already hate you. Verse 6, so he said to them, please hear this dream which I have dreamed. There we were binding sheaves in the field. Then behold, my sheaf arose and also stood upright. And indeed your sheaves stood all around and bowed down to my sheaf. Now isn't that just brilliant to tell bigger brothers that? And his brother said to him, shall you indeed reign over us, or shall you indeed have dominion over us? So they hated him even more for his dreams and for his words. I want you to hear that. And for his words. The way, in other words, that he talked about himself. The way that he bragged. The way that he talked about the dream. Verse 9, then he dreamed still another dream and told it to his brothers. He never learned. And he said, look, I have dreamed another dream. He's so excited. I'm sure they're excited to hear the second dream. And this time the sun, the moon, and 11 stars bowed down to me. 17, remember 17? Okay. So he told it to his father and his brothers, and his father rebuked him and said to him, what is this dream that you have dreamed? Shall your mother and I and your brothers indeed come to bow down to the earth before you? And his brothers envied him, but his father kept the matter in mind. So he has a dream at 17, but he doesn't step into his destiny until he's 30. What happened between that dream and that purpose that God wanted to fulfill in his life? God had to break Joseph and bring him to a place of humility and maturity. And can I just tell you, he has to do that to all of us. And the longer we resist that, the harder it is for us. But I want to establish something with this first point of this message today. And I've already said this, but I want to say it again. God has a dream for you. God really does have a dream for you. This dream that Joseph had was from God. Now, Joseph bragging about it, that was not God's will. But the dream, I believe, was from God. God's dream for your life really is better than your dream, and his purpose is bigger than your purpose. God is always better, and he's always bigger. How can you know God's dream, though? That's what I want to answer here for just a few moments. And I'm going to jump to Moses here. Now, I'm talking about Moses next week, but I'm going to give you a peek today, because I think there's a statement written about Moses, concerning Moses, that helps us to know how we can know God's dream for our life. And this is in Numbers chapter 12, verses 6 through 8. Just jot this down. It'll be on the screen. It says, then he said, this is God talking, hear now my words. If there is a prophet among you, I, the Lord, make myself known to him in a vision. I speak to him in a dream. Verse 7, not so with my servant Moses. He is faithful in all my house. There's a little clue right there on how to begin to get God's dream for your life, to be faithful in God's house. But look at verse 8. I speak with him face to face, even plainly. If you want to know God's dream for your life, it's real simple. Listen. If you want to know God's dream for your life, real simple. Get to know God. Just get to know him. Get to know him. Abraham was a friend of God. Right here it also says that Moses was a friend of God. Both of these men seem to have a little more humility in their life than someone like Joseph here or someone like Jacob that we've dealt with. But so I think that humility is a big part of this. But the way to know God's dream for your life is simple. Get to know God. He's the one who gives the dream. Get to know him. The first step is to be saved and to give your life to Jesus. The second step, I believe, is to be faithful in the house of God, showing up, being here, being in his presence, being with his people, being around his teaching, being around his gifts, and being faithful in his house is the next step. And I think the third step is to develop a personal relationship with God through prayer, through reading his word, and through regular worship, living a life of worship. But get to know him. Get to know the giver of dreams. Get to know the one who can listen to this. If you're a tweeter, you can tweet this. Get to know the one who can reveal the dream and fulfill the dream. He's the one who can reveal it, and he's the one who can fulfill it. The Bible says the children of Israel knew God's acts, but Moses knew God's ways. Get to know him. Don't just know about him, in other words. Get to know him personally. This is such a vital part of what it means to be a follower of Christ. This is such a vital part of what it means to be a Christian. Jesus even said, this is salvation. This is eternal life. That you know God. Not know about him, but know God. I've used this illustration several times before. I'm looking around the room today because I'm going to pick on somebody, and you're going to be embarrassed, I know, but I'm looking for somebody. Is there anybody in this room, don't be embarrassed, but is there anybody in this room who I've only met once or twice or maybe never met before? Is there anyone here today that I've never met before? Huh? I've met you, Mark. I know your name. Who? Huh? Way back over here. Hi. I'm sorry. I know this is terrible for me to pick on you like this. But my name's Keith. What's your name? Bridget? Bridget, we just met each other. I'm Keith, you're Bridget. Do we know each other? No. I'd love to get to know you, and I'm sure you'd just love to get to know me. But the reason I pick on you, Bridget, is for the simple reason that many times that's the way people are with God. They have an encounter with God. They say, yes, I want to be a Christian. They pray a prayer, and then they never speak to him again. They were introduced to him, but they never really got to know him. And that's really not what God wants. He wants to give you a dream, and the way to get to know God's dream is to get to know the giver of dreams, to get to know him. That's so important. If you don't hear anything else, I think that's so important. But Jesus, you can know, and some people say, I can't know God that way. Yes, you can. Otherwise, you're calling God a liar because he said so over and over again in his scripture, that you can know him. In fact, Jesus said these words, no longer do I call you servant, but I call you my friend. You can know God as a friend, your best friend. And when you do, he will birth within you his dream for your life. God has a dream for every person here. But listen to me carefully. We can also have our own dreams. We can also have our own dreams. And these are usually selfish dreams, if we're being honest. And these selfish dreams can cloud us from hearing God's dream. And there's some dreams that you just need to lay down. Let me just ask you in here today, some of you men. Is there any men in here who, let's say, are over, I'm just going to go ahead and say over the age of 30. I think that's safe. Don't raise your hand yet. You hadn't heard everything. You're over the age of 30 and you played football in high school or college. Anybody in here over the age of 30 that played? Nobody? Golly, y'all are a bunch of... Okay. Over here, you played football. Anybody? You played football. I played football. You played football. Anybody else play football? In high school? Junior high. I'll go back to junior high. Okay, we got a few more. Okay. Junior high, high school, college. Raise your hand high if you played football and you're over 30. All right, now listen to me, guys. The Cowboys are not going to come calling you, all right? I just talked about the Cowboys a minute ago, and I just want to make it clear, you just need to lay that dream down. If you're over 30, it's just not going to happen. I'm sorry, all right? They're not going to come calling. See, some of these dreams that we have can be selfish dreams. They're not really from God, and we need to lay them down. You know, a lot of people don't like to hear that. It's my dream. Like, I can throw this football over that mountain. No, you can't, Cousin Rico. Anyway, Kylie, I'm going way back to Napoleon Dynamite in my youth days. All right. But we need to find God's dream for our life, which is better, and to do what we have to do to get to know God. When you get the dream from God, though, this is the second thing. Don't brag about it. When you get the dream from God, don't brag about it. Don't brag about God's dream. The dream leads to God's destiny, but if you brag about it, you're never going to step into it. And that's what's really unfortunate. A lot of people, they live with the dream, but they never step into the purpose that God has for their life. They live with it, but they never step into it. And the reason is because they start to brag about it. I know people who brag all the time. They want to tell me about the dream they have. And they believe God has given them this dream. They want to talk to me about it. They want to brag about it. And you don't have to brag about it. You just have to be faithful in all God's house. But Joseph bragged, and his brothers hated him for his dream and for his words, the Bible says, the way he talked about it, the way he bragged. This is pride. And Joseph had to overcome and had to be broken from that pride. So stop bragging. How do you do this? Well, for some people, you just have to stop talking. I don't mean like shut up, close off, be a hermit altogether. But for some people, they can't help it. It's like if their mouth's moving, they're bragging. They're bragging about something. They're talking about it. And I can be the worst at this. I talk a lot. I know that I do. Part of that has to do with the fact that I'm a public communicator, okay? So I'm used to talking. But I know I talk too much in one-on-ones and in meetings and things like that. Some people, they think before they speak. I think while I'm speaking a lot of times. I know there's some people who they think after they speak. And then there's some people who just don't think. But I know I talk too much. So God dealt with me about this. And so I told my wife, this is several years ago now, I told my wife Jennifer, I said, now if I get to talking too much and it just kind of, this bragging comes out of me, I didn't say bragging, but there's anything that kind of boasts me up a little bit, I said, can you do me a favor? I just told her, I said, can you just kind of give me a little kick under the table? Now, here's what I meant. I meant just a little gentle nudge. But she took this my husband's given me permission to abuse him. So she's not in here today, so I get to talk about her. But to this day, if you saw my legs, I got bruises all over my legs. She's always kicking me under the table. And that's a signal to me that I'm bragging or I'm talking too much, and I just need to shut up. For some people, the way you stop bragging is you just stop talking. But why do we brag? The reason is because pride is in our heart. Matthew chapter 12, verse 34 says, and this is one of those passages you almost wish Jesus hadn't said, but he said it, it's out there, and he can't take it back, and he doesn't want to take it back because everything he said was truth. He said, "For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks." People will say this to me a lot. They'll say, "You don't know my heart. You don't know my heart." This may shock you, but I can tell a lot of times what's really in the heart of people. So you don't know my heart. You can't tell my heart. You don't know my heart. Well, I can get a pretty good idea by what's coming out of your mouth. Now, I may not know everything that's in your heart, but out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And so why do we brag sometimes about the dreams that God has put in our heart is because we have pride also in our heart. The reason we brag is because pride is down deep within us. It's in the core of our being. And listen to this, pride always, always has to have a voice. Pride always has to be heard. When pride is in there, it wants to be heard. Pride always wants to give its opinion. And let me give you another example of bragging. And this one really hurts me again because I am so guilty of this in my life. But pride always interrupts other people. Now, some of you, I just watched you. I looked up on purpose, and you just kind of glanced over at somebody sitting next to you. Pride always interrupts. And the reason is because you think other people's opinion doesn't matter as much as yours. And so you have to interrupt them to get your opinion out there. We have to deal with pride, or we're never going to fulfill God's destiny for our lives. Think about this. Joseph brought a bad report to his brothers, or of his brothers to his father. He was already a tattletale. And then he tells his dreams to his brothers, and they hated him even more. And I want you to understand this and listen to this carefully. The dream, even though it may have been from God, it was the dream that he had, the way he bragged about it, was not God's destiny and purpose for his life. In other words, it was never God's purpose for Joseph to get his brothers to bow down to him. That was not what God wanted. His purpose was to literally saved to rescue a multitude of people. Because the rest of the story, if you're not familiar with it, the rest of the story is his brothers hate him so bad at this point that they plot to kill him, but instead they decide to sell him into slavery and tell their father that he had been killed. And so that's exactly what they do. They sold him into slavery. He ends up being a slave in Egypt. And he's a slave doing slave labor for several years. And then he's accused of a crime that he did not commit. And he's thrown into prison. And he's in prison for several years. And then two of Pharaoh's servants get thrown into prison. And they have dreams. And they don't understand the dreams they're having. And God gives Joseph the interpretation of their dreams. One of them has a bad dream, and he's going to die. The other one has a good dream, and he's going to be restored to be the cupbearer to Pharaoh, the king. And that's exactly what happened. But then the one that was restored as a cupbearer forgot about Joseph and left him in prison for several more years before Pharaoh had some dreams and needed these dreams interpreted. Nobody could interpret the dream. And all of a sudden the cupbearer remembered, oh yeah, there's this Israelite slave that's in prison that can interpret dreams. And so they call for Joseph. Pharaoh tells Joseph his dreams. Joseph said, I'll tell you, God gave him again the interpretation of the dream that you've got to get ready because there's going to be a drought, there's going to be a famine in the land. And you've got to get things prepared and ready for that, so that you won't starve to death when this famine comes. And so Pharaoh looks at him and says, I'm going to put you in charge of that, and makes him second in command over the whole land. And when the drought came, not only did it save all of Egypt, but the surrounding nations, including the nation of Israel, they had to come to Egypt to get food because there was no other place to get food to survive. You see, that's why they came and eventually did bow down before Joseph, because he was exalted to that place. But that was, the dream was never God's purpose for Joseph. God's purpose was not for his brothers to bow down to him. God's purpose was so that he could help people. Can I just tell you, that's your purpose as well? Your dream that God has for you may be a reflection of your purpose. But the purpose is not so that you can be great. The purpose is so that you can help people to show how great God is. That's the purpose. That's the purpose. And you wonder, why did God not give him that dream? Why did he give him a dream about his brothers bowing down to him instead of saying, hey, you're gonna help people someday? I'll tell you a couple of reasons I believe. Number one is because that doesn't motivate people when they're 17. When you're 17, you want to be popular. You want to have power. You want to have success. You want the girls to go, ooh, ah. Doesn't really motivate you. But I think a bigger reason is because it reveals what's really in your heart. God gives us dreams sometimes to reveal the pride that's in our own heart. And that dream is really not his will, but it sets you on a path to fulfill his purpose for your life. And that purpose is to help other people. So don't brag about the dream when you get it from God. The way you get to the dream is you get to know God. But when you get it, don't brag about it. And then this third thing, and then I'm done. We need to deal with the root of pride. Deal with the root of pride in your life. Let me just ask you a question here today. Raise your hand if at some point ever in your life, even just once, you had a problem with pride. Okay. Sure. Now, if you don't have your hand up, you're having a problem with pride right now. Okay. Now, let me just ask you this. Show of hands again. How many of you have had to deal with pride more than once in your life? Come on. Sure. All of us. Let me tell you why. Let me tell you why this happens. It's because you don't deal with the root of pride. You might have dealt with the fruit of pride, but you didn't deal with the root. And I talked about how I realized that I talk too much and I brag sometimes, and And I told my wife to kick me. There goes my wife right there. She's like a butterfly. She's just everywhere. She's helping out. I told her to kick me under the table because I realized that I was talking too much. And so sometimes you might be sitting there, oh, I realize I made a prideful statement, so I'm not going to talk as much. You dealt with the fruit, but you didn't, pride's still in there. You didn't deal with the root. And we've got to deal with the root of pride. And let me just tell you what that is. The root of pride, all pride, is rooted in insecurity. All pride is rooted in insecurity. If pride is in your heart, insecurity is in your soul. This is why we need the healing of the soul. Our mind, our will, and our emotions. And we all need the healing touch of the Holy Spirit. Another reason we struggle with pride more than once is because with every new challenge that we face comes new opportunities for insecurity to enter our life. An example, again, reason my wife's working out in there is because we do need some people, some more volunteers to step up, and we have opportunities for you to serve in our children's ministry. We're praying for new people to step up. It's usually a once a month commitment, but maybe you've served in that ministry and you've been serving in the nursery or in the toddlers or in the children's ministry upstairs. And you serve there, and you're doing a pretty good job. You're starting to get comfortable with it. You're starting to get competent in it. You even feel like, hey, I'm doing a pretty good job, and I look forward to this each month that I get to do this. And then all of a sudden, we might ask you, hey, can you maybe step up a little bit more? Maybe can you become over a group of leaders? All of a sudden, you'd say, oh, that's new. I don't know about that. I don't know if I can do that, and I don't want to look foolish. That's insecurity. But the wrong way to handle that is try to deal with it in your own strength, in your own competence, in your own power. Or maybe you're on your job, and you're doing your job well, and you feel competent in your job. And you get noticed by the manager, you get noticed by the boss, and they say, hey, you're doing a good job, we want to promote you. Now all of a sudden you're in a new level of responsibility. You might even have some people working under you, and all of a sudden you feel insecure again. You felt secure before, but now you feel insecure again. The reason we struggle with pride a lot of times is because with every new challenge, there's opportunities for new insecurities. And the worst thing that can happen, I think, is for the people who never try at all because of insecurity. They never try to advance. They never try to get to a different place, to ever even go for the dream, to ever even fulfill the destiny, because they're afraid they're going to look foolish. And can I just tell you, that's pride. That's pride too. And it's all rooted in insecurity. And so I'm going to tell you how to defeat this and to uproot insecurity in your life. And the way you do it is very simply this. You get to know God again, but you also get to know who you are in Christ. You're a child of God. And I want to end with this story today. Picture, if you will, for just a minute. Picture, if you will, a castle, a big, beautiful castle. It's got a moat, and there's a city around it. And all the people in the city are part of the reign of the king and the queen who live in that castle. And there's a prince in that castle. And one day the prince is looking out his window and he sees a young woman. And it's love at first sight. He wants to get to know her. It's love at first sight. He's fallen in love with her. But the deal is he doesn't want her to love him back just because he's the prince. And so what he does is he disguises himself as a pauper and he goes and he lives among the peasants and he meets her and she falls in love with him and agrees to marry him. And then he brings her back to his castle and reveals who he really is. And they get married. And in time, he becomes the king And now she's his queen. How does she battle insecurity? Because she was not bred to be a queen. She was not brought up to be a queen. How does she overcome her insecurity? The way she overcomes it is because she knows who she is. She's the wife of the king. And she knows that the king loves her because of what he was willing to sacrifice for her. How does she overcome her pride? She remembers where she came from. The way we overcome and deal with the root of pride, the way we deal with that insecurity is knowing that you're a child of God, knowing what God sacrificed for you. And the way you deal with your pride is you never forget where you came from. That's how we overcome in this life. That's how we overcome pride. But can I just tell you, it's more important. That's how we get our dream from God, and we go from that dream to stepping into the fullness of the purpose that He created us for in the first place. Know who you are. You're a child of God. That will deal with your insecurity. And the way you deal with that pride is you never forget where you came from. Is this good today? Everybody stand up. Everybody stand up. I want to ask our prayer leaders to be here at the front this morning. I'm going to go ahead and ask them to come up now. But I want everyone to bow your head and close your eyes for just a minute today. And I'm done. I really want to ask you here this morning, how many of you in here, just be honest and say, I really need to get that dream from God. If that's you here this morning, like Joseph, you say, I don't even know what it is. I don't know what that dream is. I don't know what that destiny, that purpose is. But I need it today. I need it today. And I'm going to tell you, the reason you need it is because you need to know what you're fighting for in this life. Otherwise, you're just existing. You're just surviving. Your life has no significance without it. And I just want to ask you today, how many of you in here, just be honest, you say, I need that. I need that purpose, that dream from God. Come on. Hands are going up everywhere. Hands are going up. Here's what I want to do today. I'm going to pray for you, but I want you to pray and say, God, help me to get to know you so I can know your dream and your destiny for my life.